What must I do to be saved? Is the question this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this message this morning. Lord, that we can forget our past. We can plan for our future. And we can open up your present today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can have an usher, I would like for everyone to have one of these, if you would come hand them out. This is a Hebrew and Greek definitions of the word saved. And I just wanted you to have this. Oh, I'm sorry, got it. I thought you, did you have a testimony? No, okay. I'm not doing very good at getting it. Thank you so much. But we'll talk about those just a little bit later, but I wanted you to have it. Because salvation is so much more than the forgiveness of sins. And today we're going to talk about what must I do to be saved. And next week we're going to talk about this word, saved, and what salvation does for us every day of our lives. So thank you, Lord. You can go to the first slide. We thank God that we know His Word is already anointed. We ask you to open our hearts, Lord, to receive what you're saying to the church today. This scripture comes after an incident with Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were actually thrown into prison. They were beaten because they delivered a woman from a spirit of divination. And the people that were manipulating this woman and making money off of this woman was really upset with them. And the whole town got upset and they beat them and they threw them into prison. And it was about midnight. And Paul and Silas, they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were obviously listening to them. And the scripture says that because of their praise, suddenly there was a great earthquake. This is what praise can do. It connects heaven to earth. Praise is a weapon of war. And they were praising God, and they were praying, and this earthquake came, and the gates were opened up, and the chains fell off all the prisoners. That's what praise will do for you. It'll set you free from the prison that you are living in. And you know, the keeper of the prison, he was in charge of all these prisoners. And if any prisoners would escape, then his life would be taken. And so it was a serious position to have. And so when he saw the chains were broken, the gates were open, the prison doors were open, and he just assumed that all the prisoners had taken off and had run off. But you know, Paul was able to keep all of them in there. Nobody left the prison. And so this is where it picks up, because when he found out they were there, he was absolutely shocked that everyone was still there. And it convinced him, because you know, he knew Paul had set this woman free from this demon. He knew the work of Paul in the city. And Paul had actually gone into the city to start a church. And what they were trying to do, that the next day, the magistrates were going to come and tell them to get out of town and not allow them to plant a church. But God. Say, but God. God had another plan. And so it was, the lights were out and they got a light, and he went running in there and he was trembling with fear and he fell down in front of Paul and Silas and he asked this question: what must I do to be saved? Thank you, Lord, for bringing an earthquake to save one person. And probably everybody else that was in prison there with him. So this is the verse. He said, and he brought them out and said, sirs, What must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. Believe. Believe. We're starting a series on believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And I read a story about from Billy Graham that I wanted to share with you this morning that just really ties in with all of this. But Billy Graham, he was invited to a luncheon to honor him, and he kind of hesitated to go because at the time he was really struggling with Parkinson's disease. And this was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the leaders, they said, you know, we don't expect a major address from you. We just want you to come out so that we can honor you. And so he agreed to go. And after wonderful things were said about him, Dr. Graham stepped to the podium and he looked at the crowd and he said, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist. And would you just put up that picture that I have for you? Just as I'm going into the story, this kind of helps tie everything in together. But this is the desk of Albert Einstein, the day he died on April 18, 1955. Science has found a link between clutter and extremely high IQ. If your workspace is messy and cluttered, you're not a slob. You most likely are a genius. And you're welcome. Hallelujah. Do you feel so much better now? Okay, let's go on with the story. He said, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist. Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle punching the tickets of every passenger. When he came to Einstein, Einstein reached in his vest pocket. He couldn't find his ticket, so he reached in his trouser pockets. It wasn't there. So he looked in his briefcase but couldn't find it. Then he looked in the seat beside him. He still couldn't find it. And the conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. And Einstein nodded appropriately. And the conductor continued down the aisle punching tickets. And as he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and saw the great physicist down on his hands and knees looking under his seat for his ticket. And the conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. And Einstein looked at him and said, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. So having said that, Billy Graham continued. And he said, see the suit I'm wearing today? It's a brand new suit. My family tells me I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age, and I used to be more fastidious. So I went out and bought a new suit for this luncheon and one more occasion. You know what that occasion is. This is the suit in which I'll be buried. But when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit I'm wearing. I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, I also know where I'm going. Do you know where you are going? Amen. So, you know, the scripture talks about two roads that run parallel. There's a narrow road and there's a wide road. But there's two very different destinations on those roads. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So each one of us is on this journey. And we decide which road we're going to be on. The two roads travel side by side, you know, and they're both filled with common people. And like I said, they're going in a very different destination. One road leads to heaven and one road leads to hell. And when you're on these roads, you know, God gives us opportunities to get off that road that leads to hell. There's exit signs along the way. There's exit signs that are marked with the cross of Jesus Christ. There's opportunities that God provides for everyone that's traveling on this road so that they can cross over. It's not a difficult thing to cross over, but you have to decide in your heart that you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, he knew he was on the wrong road. And so he asked Saul, by this time, who was known as the Apostle Paul, where's the exit ramp? How do I get off this road? What must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. So the first thing that we need to do to be saved is to believe. And what does it mean to believe? It's more than just simply accepting the facts. It is believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing that He gave His life for each one of us, for the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, you know, as you're traveling on the road, depending upon what road you're on today, and maybe you're crossing back and forth, and that's a dangerous place to be, is to walk back and forth between serving the Lord and serving Satan. You can only serve one master, the scripture says. And so we have to decide, what road are we going to stay on? How are we going to handle our life? What choices are we going to make when opportunities are presented to us? Choose Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, for God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. If you have not crossed over that road, today is your day to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. It's time. And one of the main reasons, not only for your eternal life, but it is for everyone that is following you. Did you hear what it said in the scripture? It said that today that Paul would be, or that the jailer would be saved, and that his household also. There are people following you. You are responsible for the salvation of those who are following you. It is so important that we are on the right road, because everyone is on a journey, and each of us will take others with us. Wherever our destination is heaven, you're going to take somebody with you, whether intentionally or by your ignorance. People are following you. The choices that you make influence people. And so it's important to make the right choices. And I was thinking about Norma McCorvey. She is also known as Jane Roe. She is the person that wanted to make abortion legal. And she was influenced by people around her. She was living a life of drugs and sex and just all kinds of fleshly desires were being fulfilled in her life. She wasn't even thinking about God, but she was in sin. And she thought that if she could have an abortion, it would take care of her problem. And so in the state that she lived in Texas, abortions were not legal to end pregnancy unless the woman's life was in danger. And so she was used, story tells that she was used by her attorneys to file in Texas and to take her lawsuit to the Supreme Court. On January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Roe and declared many anti-abortion laws unconstitutional. And so it was because of this woman's decision that many people followed in her pattern after her life. And in 1995, you know, God, tell your neighbor, God never gives up on us. Norma was working at a Dallas clinic where they were doing abortions. It was a choice for women. And right across the hall from that office, a pro-life group got the office and their Operation Rescue ministry moved in. And she tried trading insults. She would insult them and make snide remarks at the pro-lifers. And she said that they just kind of brushed off the insults that she threw at them, and they would smile at her. And occasionally they would share scripture with her, and they were always inviting her to church. And finally, Norma quit her clinic job later in the summer, and she announced her conversion to Christianity. And the Reverend Philip Flip Benham of the Operation Rescue organization baptized her. And here's a picture of her baptism. Can you see the joy on her face? But she said that decision haunted her. And, you know, she tried to have it overturned, and it didn't work at the time, but praise God, it has been overturned, and now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for life. For life. God is for every life. He is for every person. And even if women have had an abortion, it is not the unforgivable sin. And when if you come to that realization that you need help in healing and restoration, Jesus is the place to go. Jesus is the place to go. Women are told that this will just take care of your problem. Young women are told that. I've counseled many a young women that were told that it's just a blob of cells, it's nothing to it, and you know, it'll just be over and you can go on with your life. But what they found out, even 20, 30 years later, that they are still in pain because of that decision that they made. And that is why we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He's the healer of our soul. He's the forgiver of our sins. He will come in and He will heal and restore and fill that void in your life. There have been so many just manifestations for people in the present that the Lord shows them where their child is, or the Lord shows them something in remembrance, like I was ministering with a person, and you know, the Lord showed her that at the time she had that she had family in heaven that was waiting, that they were loving that child, and someday she will see that child. And what a testimony and what a peace came over her to know that God, in the midst of all of that, had that situation in His hand. You know, we make some decisions in our life that really affect us emotionally and mentally, that only God can heal and restore. The world is looking for answers today, but what they will not admit, that the problems are spiritual. They will not call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, we pray that You soften souls, and it's like He does it one person at a time. One person at a time. I was talking with someone yesterday that had worked at Teen Challenge, and he said, what an amazing ministry for men to come out of addictions and turn their lives around. He said they are solid when they come out of that 13 months later. I think the program's like 13 months. But you know, we have a facility here in Elkhart. It's right over by our house. It's got, I think it's 60 beds or 90 beds now. And it's an amazing facility that God is on the move and working in people's life to change them, heal them, restore them, and give back to them what the enemy has stolen. Because the enemy is here to steal your peace. He wants your peace. You know, you can't buy peace. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how many millions you have. You cannot buy peace. Your peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. And His name is Jesus. And He brings His peace. And He guards our hearts and minds with his peace. He is a God of peace. And the scripture says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's always ready to forgive. So let's go back to Paul's response to the jailer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. So when the Philippian jailer recognized that he was on the wrong road, that he needed to get on the same road that these guys were on, he was ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that night he was baptized, and the scripture says, and all of his household was baptized also. Thank you, Lord. Acts 9:1-5 is about Saul when he was on the road of Damascus. Sometimes we need something harsh to awaken us. And you know, God will give you just what you need. Tell your neighbor, God gives you just what you need. You know, he can speak gently to some people, and he speaks a little harsher to other people, and he knocks some people upside the head, and sometimes you feel like God gave you a kick in the butt to get you going. All right, all depends on who you are, because he knows what you need. But anyway, in the scripture it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any Christians there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul was a pretty rough guy, wasn't he? He was a murderer. He was killing God's people, and he thought he was doing God a favor. So as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He knew that was the Lord by the experience that happened and the light that was shining around him. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. So in order for him to be saved, he needed that experience. He got off the wrong road. That was his exit ramp, wasn't it? When he got knocked off of his donkey onto the ground. That was his exit ramp. And what he needed, just like he told that jailer later, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Romans 10:9-11 says this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You can go on. The question is, will you ask him to be Lord of your life today? And I thought about that question, and we hear that question a lot. And this is where my theology degrees began to kick in, because how can you make someone Lord of your life who is already Lord of everything? It's not like asking him to be Lord. It is submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can't make him anything. So when that question is asked, I often think that because the theology starts to kick in and the studies of the scripture, because he is already Lord. And so that question or statement should be, submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you get off the road? Or will you make a decision to stay on the road? and not be tossed to and fro. You know, the scripture talks about people who are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It says, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. You can't pretend to be a Christian on Sunday and then be something else on Monday. The Lord's talking to us this morning. He wants all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. Totally committed to Him. Yes, we still live in this world. Yes, we do our job. And every job that we do it as unto the Lord. We do it as unto Him. We do it with integrity and honesty. We're on time to work. We're kind. We're respectful. We honor the Lord by what we do. People see us. We are reading. We are living epistles, the scripture says. People are watching our lives. You're taking people with you somewhere. By your behavior, by your decisions, by your attitude. You know, sometimes we just need an attitude adjustment. Thank you, Lord. Because your attitude determines your altitude in life. It determines how far you're going to go anywhere. And when you've got the Lord on your side and you've got a good attitude, you are going to succeed. Because the Lord causes us to succeed. He establishes us, the scripture says. He establishes us in the earth for His covenant. But I read a story, because this is how important it is. Every single person in church, every single Sunday, people are watching each other. It is important how we, what we say, what we do. And Charles Swindoll told this story. And he said this, a skeptic attended church for 4 Sundays on which the preacher preached the basic beliefs of Christianity. And the skeptic listened intently to the sermons. And after the 4th message, he came forward, saying he had received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the delighted pastor asked, which of the 4 sermons I taught led you to this decision? And the skeptic replied, your sermons, sir, were helpful, but they were not what finally persuaded me. He said that after church one Sunday, he was helping an elderly lady on a slippery walk. And she looked up into his face and said, I wonder if you know my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's everything in the world to me. I would like you to know Him too. And the skeptic said, that remark sent me home where on my knees I found Christ for myself. We are all called to share Jesus with someone. The video we watched said, forget your past. Your sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord does not remember them. Some of you need to hear this morning because you're still beating yourself up over your past. If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sins are from you. They are buried, the scripture says, in the sea of forgetfulness. So if they keep coming up, then you're bringing them up. Don't blame the devil, blame yourself. Because you're allowing those thoughts to stay in your mind. You're allowing the pain from the past to continue. Come in and get some help. Come to the elders, ask for prayer. You know, the Lord wants to help you. Sometimes there's so much trauma that needs to be taken care of. Because it's negative energy that keeps pushing itself up, pushing itself up. In counseling, I learned that feelings buried alive never die. If you have buried something, it is not going to die. It is going to keep pushing up and pushing up. I meet so many people in their 40s that come in and say, I'm exhausted. I can't take this anymore. I don't have any more emotional energy because I keep pushing these things down, but I've got to take care of them. And that's the perfect time for the Lord Jesus Christ to help you release all of that to Him. You were not meant to carry that. You were not meant to carry that. That is why Jesus Christ went to the cross. That is why he's your Savior. When you submit to his lordship, when you surrender all, he takes that from you and he replaces it with the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit, with love and patience, long-suffering. He gives you the fruit of the Spirit. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. How many new creations do we have in here this morning? Wave your hand. Thank you, Lord. And it's a journey. It's a process. We're all on the journey. We're all on the journey. That's why we have grace one for another. We have forbearance one for another, the scripture says. That means we put up with each other. Hallelujah. While Jesus is working on the inside of us. Amen. Aren't you thankful for people like that? I'm so thankful for people like that. Put up with you, put up with me. Thank you, Lord. We're all on a journey. We're all growing in Christ. We're all becoming who he has intended us to be. Thank you, Lord. So let the past go. And if you need help, ask for prayer, ask for help. And then the video said, plan your future. Plan for your future. Plan for your future. God holds your future in your hand. When you walk with the Lord every day, you're going to walk right into your future. And then it said, open your present. Your present of salvation. Open your present. Salvation is what we currently live in. We live in salvation. And that's why I wanted you to have all of these words and translations from the Greek and the Hebrew, so you would have an understanding of what salvation is. We thank the Lord for it, for our salvation. Thank you, Lord. And next week we'll study these. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We can't say enough. We can't explain it. But it's something you've got to experience. It's like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He experienced God supernaturally intervening in his life. And you know, as we receive salvation, as we walk with the Lord every day, it is amazing what he does for us. And we don't even know the half of it. I was thinking about the scripture that says he gives his angels charge over us. We have angels that are all around us. You know, the scripture says that what we don't see is what is eternal. What we do see right now all around us is temporal. So it is the unseen things, such as the angels, that are eternal. And the angels are angelic hosts. Sent from the Heavenly Father to watch over you. I was sharing with Justin this last week. One of the first times, or first few times, we went out with a trained street team. We were down in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And when we were riding on the bus, heading for the area that we were going to, they were talking to us about this area, and they said, oh, by the way, three people were executed down on the street we're going to last week. And we're like, well, thanks for telling us after we're on the bus and already halfway there. You know, we were just learning. We were going places that had active street teams because we wanted to learn. And so and we had done a lot of street ministry here in Elkhart, but we were going to go to the big city, Fort Wayne. And so they sent us out two by twos, and we were covering the street. And my partner and I, we were walking by a tavern, and this very tall man came out of the tavern and he started to grab me. I mean, he was going for me. And all of a sudden, the man flew up in the air and back about 6 feet and landed on his hind end. And everyone, the whole team, I heard this from everybody. And Leonard was across the street, and he came running, and everyone came running. But the man was up to no good. But my angel, was right there and shoved that big man out of the way. I'm no match for a man 6 pounds and, or 6 pounds, 6 feet tall and probably 250 pounds. No match for that. But the angel took care of that. And I was telling Justin from that time on, I was never afraid to go out in the street because the Lord gives his angels charge over each one of us as we are about our daily business, as we are about the Father's business. God gives his angels charge. And the men went over, they ministered to him, led him to the Lord. And you know, he was really drunk, but he sobered right up. Isn't that something, how God can do that? We've seen God do that so many times. People be so drunk or high out of their mind, and God sober them up. Sober them up. You're the messenger with the good news. And God's deputies are going with you everywhere you go. So we thank God. He's equipped us for everything that we need. The scripture says, everything you need pertaining to life. That's everyday life. Everything you need pertaining to life and godliness, God already has for you. So we have to recognize all of that is in the unseen realm. And so it is getting in tune with heaven. And we get in tune with heaven through prayer and through worship and through studying God's word, that we began to walk in and the things that we need come to us. They just come to us, don't they? I've been praying with Stephanie regarding something. God answered that prayer miraculously. Hallelujah. It's God's provision for her family because she's been faithful. She's been faithful to serve God and put him first in her life. And the Lord heard her cry. And you know, he can move heaven and earth to answer your prayer. And last week, we prayed with Alex. Alex came in this morning with a big smile on his face because last week he was, you know, really concerned. Will anybody hire me? Will I be able to find a job? And Alex got a job this week and he starts tomorrow. But God begins to release what we need when we get on the right road, right? When you're on the right road, God begins to release all that you need to fulfill your purpose here in the earth. And we're all created for purpose for the glory of God. Yes, yes, he saved you for purpose. Yes, hallelujah. So this morning, I just want to put that call out there. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have not submitted to his Lordship, today is the day. And if you need prayer, for something, I'm just going to call right now if the elders will come on up. If you need prayer for something this morning, you know, the presence of the Lord is here so strong. He is here. If you need prayer for something in particular, the praise team is coming to get ready. And we're going to serve communion after that. But we want to pray first. Do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Do you want to confess with your mouth because you already believe it in your heart? I know the Lord's pulling on some heartstrings today. He's pulling on us. He's pulling on us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Does anyone need prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Everybody's 100%. Nobody needs healing. Nobody needs restoration anywhere. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer, it's time to come. It's time to come. Today is the day of salvation. It's right now. It's right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Cover your people. I just, in the spirit, see like a blanket coming down, and God's covering us this morning. Thank you for your covering over us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your covering over us today. We praise you, Lord, and thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When the Lord comes over us and covers us, it's like this vibration takes place in our physical beings. Just let the Lord is like powerful. Let that power, that vibration, just fill you. Let it vibrate you. Just receive that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we have some music, please? Thank you, Jesus. Haravashikamashata. Thank you, Lord. Kikamashata. Thank you, Jesus. Just from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the Lord's in this house ministering to people. Thank you, Jesus. What must I do, Lord, to be saved? What must I do? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that your salvation revives us. Revive us, Lord. Revive each person here today, Lord. Some of you have put some hopes and dreams on the shelf and just kind of forgot about them. But the Lord wants to revive you and put that passion in your heart once again. Just think about, what have you just pushed aside? Because you told yourself, this could never happen. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to give up on this. I don't have the money. I don't have the ability to do it. But yet it was something that was really inspiring to you. And then you just let it go. Let God revive that today. God's reviving our passion for life. For life. Reviving our passion for life. He gives us life abundantly. We should be so excited about life. Revive us, Lord. Thank you for this life. Thank you that we got up and walked in here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have a voice to praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Revive us, Lord. Revive your church. Revive the body across this nation, Lord. Revive us, O God. Let us arise, arise, arise. Lord, I thank you. Revive us, Lord. Revive dreams once again. Hopes and dreams. Thank you, Jesus, for clarity this morning. Clarity, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
I am who he says I right. am. Hallelujah. I am a child of God. That is powerful. When you think about it, that is powerful. I am who I am, not because of you or you or you, but because God, our Father, says who I am. Hallelujah. Those that are watching virtually, we are about to take communion, and I'm going to give you a few seconds to get something and to be symbolized for his body that was broken for you and me. A piece of bread, a cracker, and then get a little bit of juice to symbolize his blood that was shed for you and me. You don't have to be here in church. It's nice to be in church. It's awesome to be in church. Amen. to rub elbows together, to build relationships. But those of you that are home, every Sunday, God has told the apostles of this house to serve communion until he says otherwise. So that's what we've been doing. And we would like to invite you to do the same thing. Lord, we take this time in remembrance of you. In Exodus 12, 14, you should celebrate taking communion as a festival to the Lord. This is a day you are to remember for generations to come all that Jesus did for us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And let's take of the bread. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And they took of the cup. And I feel like it was good. It was good. And Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we thank you for everything that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for salvation. And those that are watching virtually, God's presence was here and God's presence was there with you today. So if you need help, or someone to help you and to be closer with the Lord, our number is always up here. And so please call the office and someone will get back to you if you are interested in learning more about salvation. And if you live here in town, come and visit us and just hear the great teaching that goes forth. And Father God, we thank you for everyone that is here today, and we pray that they will go home safely. And we thank highest praise, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.